Today, we're going to be talking about, you see it up on the screen now. It says, you are now leaving the comfort zone. Now, I've been in your seat before, and if a preacher gets up and says anything about leaving a comfort zone, you get uncomfortable. So I'm going to tell you right now, I want you to relax. I want you to just sit back and get comfortable in that nice padded pew, and I want you to just take it easy for a little while, because I'm in Sunday school class. I'm not going to ask you to come up here and sing. I'm not going to ask you to teach a Sunday school class. I'm not even going to ask you to drive the bus. But I am going to ask you to do one thing, and that's I want you to personalize this message. I want you to think about it from your point of view, because each and every one of us have a different comfort zone. We're at a different walk in our life with Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that some are on milk and some are on solid food, and there's a lot in between. But what I want you to do today is I want you to put yourself in the shoes of Moses. So we're going to be talking from Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 through 13. That's Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 through 13. And when we're talking about Moses, we're talking about the comfort zone, but I want you to put yourself into his shoes, and I want you to realize that Moses, even though he's standing in the presence of God, he's making excuses. God says, I have a job for you to do, Moses. I want you to go forth, and I want you to go back to Egypt, and I want you to tell Pharaoh to set my children free. And Moses, standing before God, keeps making excuse after excuse after excuse, five excuses. So as we look, Exodus chapter 4. Moses said to the Lord, in the past, nor since you have spoken, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouth? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Isn't it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. But Moses says, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today just thanking you the opportunity to be here. We ask that something be read from thy word will bring someone closer to thee, for that is our soul's desire. And we ask all this in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, comfort zones are good, right? Everybody likes to be comfortable. When I was growing up, we didn't have padded pews. We had the old hard pews. And big old Southern Baptist preachers would get up here, and they didn't know when to shut up, man. They would keep on going and going and going. And I tell you what, your brain can only handle as much as your back end can take. So we like to be comfortable. But each and every one of us get out of our comfort zone every single day. To come to church this morning, you had to get out of bed. That nice, comfortable bed, that's a great place to be, isn't it? You lay in there and you're comfortable and you think, oh, it's Sunday morning. I got to get up. I got to get out of my comfort zone because I need to go to church. Hamburger bed. I want you to look at this. But also, you can have comfort like this, or this next one is a hamburger bed. I want you to look at this. That is what you call comfort and making you hungry at the same time. I tell you, it is comfortable. We like being comfortable. And to come here to church today, you're not wearing your pajamas. You got your nice, you're looking on, you got your Sunday outfits on and everything. Yeah, well, you can't really see it, but the little house shoes have little tiger heads on them too. So, real comfortable, by the way. But I couldn't come to church looking like that, so I had to get out of my comfortable clothes and get into my real comfortable clothes, right? So, we get out of our comfort zone every day. And if I ask you what was the most comfortable chair in the house, I bet a lot of people would raise their hand and go, it's the recliner. The recliner is the best chair in the house. This is not my recliner. But I am sending hints that way to my family and going, hey, birthday's coming up. That's what I want. That thing does everything but go get the food for you. That is a nice recliner. But you can't stay in a recliner all the time. We wish we could sometimes, but we can't. We have to get out of our comfort zone. We have to go to work. We have to go to school. We have to do all these things. So why is it so hard for us to get out of our comfort zone when God asks us to do something for him? It's a good question, right? But today, I don't want you to stress out. Excuses that he made, it's acts. I want you to put yourself in Moses' shoes, listen to the excuses that he made, and say, man, I've made some of the same excuses. So we're going to look at the first excuse that Moses made. This is in Exodus, it's chapter 3, verse 11, okay? I'm sorry, I keep messing with my jacket and the mic is right there. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" All right, let me give you some background to this right now. Moses is 80 years old. He spent 40 years in Egypt. He was adopted into the family of Pharaoh. He knows how the Egyptian society works. He knows what it is in the palace. He knows the politics. He knows all the things about the Egyptians. He's also a Hebrew by blood, so he has a connection to the Hebrews who are enslaved by the Egyptians. So for 40 years he was there, and then he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, and he killed the Egyptian, and for the fear of his own life, he left the country. Now for the next 40 years, he's working for his father-in-law. I don't know if that's comfort or not, but we'll judge that one. But Moses is comfortable. He has a wife. He has a family. He's been working for his father-in-law Jethro for 40 years. And he's out one day tending to the flock of sheep, and he sees a bush that is burning but is not being consumed. That would get your attention, wouldn't it? That would. So you walk up to the bush that's burning, it's not being consumed, and all of a sudden a voice comes out of it. Take off your sandals. This is hot. That would definitely get your attention. God says, "Moses, take off your sandals. This is holy ground." So Moses does that, and he stands before God, and God says, "I have a plan for you, Moses. Guess what? I want you to go back. I want you to go back to Egypt. I want you to tell Pharaoh to set my people free." And what does Moses say? "Yes, God, I'm doing it. There's a bush in front of me burning, and you're talking to me. I'm going." No, that's not what he says. He says, "Who am I? Who am I?" And he's saying, well, Moses is just being humble, right? He says, "I'm not worthy." No. Moses is making an excuse. And by making an excuse, he's saying no to God. There's either yes or no. There's no maybes in there. You're either working for God or you're not working for God. There is no lukewarm, okay? So when Moses says, "Who am I?" not only is he saying no to God, but he's insulting God. Because he's saying to God, "Okay, God, you picked me, but you made a mistake. You may be God, but I'm not the guy, God. You are wrong." How arrogant of Moses. How arrogant of us to say that to God when he has a plan, a task for us, and we go, "Well, who am I, God? You made a mistake. It can't be me." Now, Moses was a perfect person, was he not? 40 years in Egypt. He knows how the ends that part of it, and he knows how the Hebrews do things. He's been working 40 years with his hands, so he understands that part of it, and he is the perfect person for this task that God has set. But he's still saying, "Who am I?" You're probably saying the same thing. You probably said it in the past, and you probably say it because I do it. So, who am I? Well, let me give you some clues on who you are in the eyes of God. God says in Genesis 1:27, he says, "I created man in my own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them." You are created in the image of God. And if you're created in the image of God, that means you're special. So you shouldn't be saying who I am. You're saying who I know I am. And that means I am a child of God. That's what we should be saying. So he's sitting here going, okay, you're created in the image of God. And he's like, "Well, who am I? I don't have the ability to do this stuff." But like we see in the next slide, when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see all the gifts and talents that God gives us, he bestows upon us. And he says, "I know that you're different. I know you're at a different walk with me. I know that your comfort zones are different. But look at all these things I give you." Now, nobody's going to have every single one of them, but you do have more than one. And God is saying, "I give them to you." So not only are you created in my image, not only are you my adopted child, but I give you the ability to go forth and do what I say. So Moses is Exodus 3, Exodus. Well, who am I? But listen to God's response. This is Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. And God said, "I will be with you." We can stop right there, right? God said, "I will be with you." I want you to understand something. When God says he wants you to leave your comfort zone and go somewhere else, he's already there waiting on you. He's not falling behind you. He's already laid the plan for you to accomplish the mission that's set before you, because we want the glory to go to God. We want it to be in His will. We want everything to glorify Him. And if we fail, stumble, and fall, it's not glorifying Him. So God is setting everything in place, and He's working on Moses, and He's telling Moses that, you say, who are you? I say that you're very special. I say you are the person that needs to be doing this. And even on top of that, I say that I'm going to be there with you. So God is saying, I won't send you out by yourself. I'm already going to be there. So they get rid of that excuse pretty quick, doesn't it? Does Moses quit? No. Moses is kind of like this guy in the truck. Now, I know that you think that this is a picture of me in that truck, but it's not actually. I'm a little older than that. Even though I am from Alabama, we did have dirt roads, but we did have paved roads, and we had indoor plumbing, and we wore shoes. So I was stuck in a rut. My time, but if you know exactly what this is a gentleman who is stuck in a rut. Now think about it for a second. Moses is kind of stuck in a rut, right? He's been there 40 years working for his father-in-law. He's like, I don't want to go back. So you know what he does? He makes four more excuses. Five excuses. How many excuses have you ever gave God when He asked you to do something? I could probably go more than five. Excuse number two. We'll go Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. This is Moses. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your father has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is His name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. All right, first excuse was, who am I? Moses' second excuse is, who are you? Wow, that pretty well. I'm telling you, people, he's arrogant right now because he's telling God, well, who are you? Who am I supposed to tell him you are? You see why this is so bad on Moses' part? Because God's already told him. If you look in the chapter before, he says, Moses, I'm sending you back to Egypt. I'm God, and I'm sending you. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am their God, and I'm sending you. And then his second excuse, he looks at him and goes, well, what if they ask me a question? What if they ask me a question? Wow. Have you ever wondered about that one too? God says, go out and talk to so-and-so about God, about Jesus. Go out and talk to the atheist about Jesus. Go talk to someone who's falling away about Jesus Christ. And you go, well, wait a second. What if they ask me a question? I don't want them to ask me a question. I just want them to sit there and listen. Don't say anything back. Don't ask me a question. I'm going to tell you everything you need to know, and you go forward. It'd be great to work that way, but that's not the way life works, right? So he's making an excuse. But see, God is not going to work with excuses. Now, in Moses' defense, he is dealing with, when I was looking at it, I thought of the Stockholm syndrome. And see, the Israelites have been in Egypt for 430 years, and that's a long time. And the Stockholm syndrome is someone who is kidnapped or put in captivity who becomes to sympathize with their captor. They begin to think they're better or they're good, so they don't necessarily want to leave. They don't necessarily want to change. And we see this from the Israelites when they do get in trouble later on. What do they always say? It was better off when we were in Egypt. Why did you take us out? Sorry, my nose is running a little bit. Right? Because not only has he got to convince the Egyptians, not only has he got to convince the Egyptians to set the people free, he's also got to convince the Israelites that he is the one that God wants them to be free. So with Stockholm syndrome, he's dealing with that. But we also deal with this question also. We don't want people to ask us questions. We want people just to listen and to go forward, right? So that's excuse number two. Now, we got more. I got two pages of them here. Excuse number three, Exodus 4, 1. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me, and they say, the Lord did not appear to you? So Moses so far says, who am I? Who are you? What if they ask questions? What if they don't believe? Well, so far, we're going to go down to this point. When he asked this question, what if they don't believe, or what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not answer you? what he's wanting God to do, he's making an excuse, but he wants God to do something so that the Israelites will know for a fact that God sent him. Now, this is also the part where God tells him, you know, you have a staff in your hand, throw it down, and it turns into a snake. The Bible says Moses ran, so some of us can relate to that, right? You know, the staff's about 6 foot staff. He tells Moses, but he comes back, and God says, grab it by the tail, and he does, and it turns back into a staff. He tells Moses, put your hand into your cloak and take it out. It's leprosy. His arm is white as snow. He says, put it back in cloak, takes it out, and it's healed. He said, if they do not believe those signs, then take some water out of the Nile and turn it to blood. He said, that's going to get their attention. Now, in the marketing, which I have a degree in that, we have a term that's called desensitized. Now, desensitized is when we get to a point that we don't get the same result from the same advertising. It's like a commercial on television that you keep seeing it. It becomes back noise, white noise. You don't pay any attention to it anymore. So what do they do in advertising? They do shock value. They want to shock you. They want to get your attention. So we see it in our music. We see it in our movies. We see it in our society. We see it on TV. And for us people that are older, we can think back 20 and 40 years ago. The things that we saw then, we wouldn't see. The things we see now, we wouldn't have saw then. It's shock value. It's to get your attention. Now, if you are in this situation, you think about the Israelites. They've been there for 430 years. They're desensitized to the fact that God is there, and God wants them to come forth. So God says, I may have to shock them. I may do some shock value. Now, let me ask you something. Y'all remember the 10 plagues? Water to blood, the frogs, flies, gnats, boils, death. Death, hell, locusts, darkness, and the firstborn dies. That'll get your attention, people. Not only is it for the Egyptians, but it was for the Israelites also. They did not suffer the plagues, but they saw them. And what I want to tell you today is that put yourself in Moses' shoes. You do not want to be in this situation and out of God's will. You don't want to be desensitized to his will, because he may have to use shock value on you to get you back into his will. Does that make sense? There may something happen into your life that you go, well, wait a second, God, you got my attention now, buddy. I am heading your way. But we don't want that, right? We want to be in God's will. And you say, well, how can I be in God's will? First, you bathe all of it in prayer, always. And secondly, if it does not glorify the Father, you're not in God's will. It's pretty simple, right? You say, well, how can I understand that? How do I know if it's glorifying the Father? You test it by his word. That is how you find out if you're in God's will. You do not want to get to this point where God does something to get your attention. Now, it doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be plagues, but why take the chance? I don't like locusts. I don't like grasshoppers. And I'll tell you what, I'm not a big fan of flies either. I don't want a plague on my life. So we have this excuse number three. Now, still has another excuse. So he's going to get into the point where we have all the plagues, and now he's coming up and he still has another excuse. So he's going, this is excuse number four. It's Exodus 4, verse 10. And Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Now, I was telling the story earlier in the earlier service, and when I was growing up, I had a speech impediment, and I sounded like Elmer Fudd. Do y'all know who Elmer Fudd is? Yeah, of course y'all do. But when I was growing up, my R's sounded like W's, and I had other few little letters that I messed up, so I had to go through speech therapy for a long time. Now, if you don't think I got harassed with speaking like Elmer Fudd with an Alabama accent, yeah, it was good times, people. But my cousins, even to this day, and I'm talking about it was 40 years ago, I had a cousin named Randall. He was riding a motorcycle, and I wanted him to rear it up. So I was screaming at him, rear it up, Randall. Rear it up, Randall. Rear it up, Randall. And to this day, I mean, we're grown adults, and they still bring that up. So I can sympathize with Moses here just a little bit, right? He says, I am slow of speech. I'm not eloquent. That's not the point. Willingness. Voice. You know what God needs? Your willingness. That's what he needs. That's what he desires. He doesn't desire what you have. He wants to give you what he has. So what is God's answer to this excuse? This is Exodus 4, verse 12. Now go forth, now therefore go, and I will be your mouth, and I will teach you what you shall say. Not only God says, I will be there with you, I will give you gifts to accomplish what I've set before you, but I will even give you the words to say. Do y'all see a rhythm going here? Y'all see something that's happening? Every excuse, there's an answer. Every excuse, God says, I know what's coming, and I know the answer to what you're saying. I've already set up, and I've already got this plan for you, Moses. You're running out of excuses. And we run out of excuses too, right? But God is saying, Moses, I've got it set up for you. But Moses still has one more excuse. I've used this one before, and it's not a good one, but it's the one I've used before. Exodus 4, verse 13. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. I don't care who it is, God. Someone else. Not me. I don't want to do it. Just send anybody else. Moses, it comes to the point where we run out of excuses and we finally get to the truth, right? Moses has said all this stuff to come to the point when he finally looks at God and he says, I just don't want to do it. Send somebody else. Now, that's the place when you finally get to the point and God goes, I've got an answer for this one too. He said, there is your brother, Aaron. He's on his way here now. You said you can't speak well? He can. And guess what? He's going to be your mouthpiece. I'm going to tell you what to say. You're going to tell him. It's all taken care of. So basically what God is saying to Moses is, you run out of excuses, buddy. I've taken care of all of it. I've handled everything before you even ask. I took care of it. Now go. Now you're thinking, whoa, that is wonderful. Because now we can see from hindsight what Moses accomplished, right? The Israelites were set free. The nation prospered. It grew. It is still here today. The children of God are free because Moses fell into God's will. But he didn't do it automatically. He had the excuses that all of us use. He did the same thing that we do when we try to back out, move away, and stay out of God's will. So when we're in this comfort zone, there's nothing wrong with comfort. God is telling you that's exactly where God. If you're exactly where you need to be, and God is telling you that's exactly where you need to be, great. That's wonderful. But if God is doing that little small voice, you feel that little tug, that little thing on your heart saying, you know what? God's wanting me to do something else. He's not calling everybody to move to China to be a missionary. He's not calling everybody to become a preacher or to get up and sing or to teach or to whatever. He's not calling everybody to do all of that stuff. What he's calling you is to be willing to do the next step that he has for you. And if you're willing to step out for him, he's willing to be there for you. Now, let's do a hypothetical question right quick. Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. What if our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said that? The Father says, I'm going to send you, but he looks back at the Father and goes, no, send somebody else. I know I'm the person. I know I'm the only one that can pay the sin debt. I know it's got to be me. I'm not going to do it, though. Aren't we doing that to God? When we say, I know, God, that I'm the one that you want to do this. I'm the one that you need to go and talk to so-and-so or do whatever it is that you want me to do, but I want you to send somebody else. Now, what does that leave you if Jesus had done that? It gives you no hope that you can spend all ends. We wouldn't be here this morning in this church. It also gives you no hope that you can spend all eternity with God in heaven. It leaves you hopeless. But that's not what happened, right? Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, if there's any other way, please, please let it pass. Let something else happen. If there's any other way, but not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus went through, right? He didn't make any excuses. He hung on the cross for nothing that he did but what we did. He died on that cross for our sins to pay for what we have done, not what he did. He was put in that tomb so he could come out on the third day. So people, we owe everything to Jesus Christ. We owe everything to him. And that he offers us so much more. God has given us life. I mean, just for that, we should bow down and worship him. But not only does he give us life, but he gives us blessings while we're here on earth. And even more than that, if you accept Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, he says you can spend all eternity with me in heaven. He offers us so much. And then what in return? We make excuses. Well, I've made them, and I'm tired of making excuses. I want to be more like Moses was after he ran out of excuses. But God, that way. But we're not. We're human. We're fallible. We will make excuses. But God shows mercy and love. And what he does is he helps and he shows. So if you ever step out for the Lord, you know he's going to be there for you. And he's going to be there waiting on you. So today, the number one thing that we always want to get out of any service, any time that we're in the church, is to make sure if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that you don't wait another moment. We're not promised the next moment, but we are promised forever if we do accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9 tells us that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and we believe in our heart that God did raise him from the dead, that we shall be saved. This altar is open. If you want Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. It's a gift. You have to receive it. You have to accept it.